Let me invite you to turn with me now to James chapter 4. Take your Bibles out at home and let's spend some time in God's Word. James chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 13 through 17. I want to give you a preview of what we will be doing, Lord willing. Today we're dealing with an issue concerning how we live our lives during this time. In the life that has been given to us. And next week, Lord willing, we're going to deal with an emotional issue that each and every one of us is dealing with during this time. So be praying for these upcoming services. Be praying for these expositions of God's Word. Be praying for those here at the church that are giving of their time and their talent to help this broadcast happen. Let's begin our reading now at verse 13 of James chapter 4. Hear now the word of God. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. This is God's Word. Keep it open before you as we work our way through this passage of Scripture. Let us look to God in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your instruction, especially during a dark and difficult time like we're in. Lord, we pray that this will be practical to us, that will be helpful and hopeful to us. Lord, we desire to find guidance in your Word at this time, and Lord, we pray that we would. In Jesus' name, amen. If there is one adjective that more than any other describes the COVID-19 time in which we are living, that adjective would be the word uncertain. Every day, you've noticed, things change. Social distancing shrinks crowds faster than a 100% cotton shirt washed in hot water. The grocery aisles look like abandoned ghost towns. Packed restaurants just a week ago are shuttered, doing carry-out and drive-through only, at least for now. More and more every day, our national landscape changes the way a pounding wave changes the shoreline of Florida. But still, as people created in God's image, as human beings, we plan. We plan where we will go, what we will do. We plan for our family. We plan for retirement. Some of us plan well. Some of us plan poorly. Still, planning is part of living. But did you know, even the plans of professing Christians sometimes do not please God? See, we desire today and every day to please God above all things. And since we do, in these crazy, bizarre times in which we live, we need to ask the question, how does a Christian plan for the future? What this verse, these verses are, is it's on a canvas. It's painted two contrasting approaches professing Christians tend to take when it comes to planning for the future. And notice it begins with verse 13, come now. It's like God is grabbing us by the lapels and saying, listen to me, I have something very important to say about your planning. Listen up. Let's look at the first approach. Let's consider, first of all, the wrong approach that even Christians take when planning for the future. Now, I want to go ahead and warn you that this sermon ends in a very positive note. It ends in a major key. You need to know that because it's going to begin in a very minor key today. But it needs to because this is the way the Scripture is laid out. Let's look at this first approach to planning the future, approach we need to avoid, the way we're trying to avoid COVID-19. This verse, verse 13, if you'll look at it, describes a group of businessmen. They seem to have all the angles covered. They have a plan, they have a place, the ideal. You have a bunch of businessmen gathered together looking at a map of Flowood and Madison. And gentlemen, these cities are full of potential for our business. Gold mines of potential profit for us. These men designate a period of time. Notice they say today or tomorrow. They will spend a year. They have a clear purpose. Notice, to buy and sell to make a profit. At first glance, this appears to be a model of effective, insightful planning. But take a second look. See, this kind of planning in verse 13 is problematic for all of us for a number of reasons. One is this. This kind of planning has the wrong focus. Notice the bottom line is financial. It is to make money, a profit. See, the primary purpose of what we do as Christians is not to make a profit. And economics must not ever be the driving force behind what we do. Nowhere in the Bible are we told that man's chief end is to make money and enjoy money forever. Well, friends, we need to hear this. As the stock market takes an Acapulco cliff dive into the rocks, as banks send us a new script every day on how we're supposed to operate, we listen to this warning. When reading our future retirement portfolio is like reading a Stephen King horror novel. We need it this morning. The world is in a financial freefall. And if the spreadsheet is the bottom line for your life, this is a terrible time if that is the bottom line. Listen, if you have a business, if you work in a business, if you're part of a business, from a biblical perspective, the business you're in is for two primary purposes only. And here they are. First of all, to bring glory to God, and secondly, to serve other people. See, God has placed you where He's placed you to bring glory to Him and to serve and to help other people. That is it. Period. End of discussion. And any future plans that does not include this driving desire to glorify God and to serve others, that plan is as full of holes as a slice of Swiss cheese. This plan had a problem. They have the wrong purpose. I would challenge you this morning, whatever your plans are for the future, make sure the fuel driving the engine of your plan is a burning desire, first of all, to glorify God, and then second of all, to serve others by God's grace for His glory. God must be central now, more central than He's ever been in our lives, and we must be looking out for ways in this church and in this community to serve others. Another problem with this kind of planning is not only does it have the wrong focus, but this planning ignores the uncertainty of life. Look again at verse 13. It says, today or tomorrow, notice this next phrase, we will do this. There's kind of an attitude of arrogance here. It's as if, you know, whatever we plan to do, we can pull it off. I've heard motivational speakers say, I can do whatever I want to do. I can be whatever I want to be. I think of James Ernest Henley, I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my ship. I read the other day someone saying, you are the author of your life. How arrogant that is. Now, please understand there is a difference between arrogance and confidence. Christians have every reason to be confident in the future. We do, but we must not ignore the truth right here. The fact of the matter is, it says in verse 14, yet you do not know. You see that? You do not know. Verse 14, you do not know what tomorrow may bring. Tomorrow hides behind a thick curtain, a soup of uncertainty. We do not know, we cannot know for sure what's behind that curtain that hides tomorrow. Think of Dave Dravecki, the San Francisco Giants. He planned a long pitching career. But cancer came calling, and Dravecki's future in baseball was amputated along with his pitching arm. When Chucky Mullins suited up to play against Vanderbilt in 1989, he did not plan to leave the field on a stretcher, paralyzed for the rest of his life. And if I told you from the pulpit in January that COVID-19 would hit the economy and that workers and business owners would be wondering if anything could save them from financial disaster, you probably would have put me in a straitjacket, thrown me into a paddy wagon, destination Whitfield. But the fact of the matter is, just as verse 14 says, we do not know. An unexpected injury, loss of a job, a pandemic, any number of surprises completely can change the course of our future, change the course of our life. We do not know. We have a package being delivered to us. It's called tomorrow. We do not know what's in the package. So besides a wrong focus and ignoring life's uncertainties, another problem is this. Unwise planning ignores the brevity of life. Look at verse 14. What is your life? Well, the next verse explains it, the next phrase. For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. The word means vapor, steam, smoke. Put a kettle on a stove. Watch the steam rise from the kettle and then disappear into the air. That steam, that is a picture of your life. You see this in the soundtrack of Scripture. The brevity of life is a constant refrain. The Bible compares the length of our life to these images. Listen to these. A shadow, a breath, a cloud that rises and then disappears, a ship disappearing over the horizon, flowers fading, grass that sprouts, grows, withers, dies, and then is blown away by the wind. That's our lives. Short. Brief, transient, as fragile as a carton of eggs. I want to say something to young people this morning. I know you feel somewhat invincible, but listen. The length of your life is relative. Whether you live to be 30, 65, 75, or 105, on the timeline of eternity, your life is a small dot. However long you live, remember, you're not here to stay. In your life's journey, God has put a certain amount of gas in your tank. And whenever the tank registers empty, the journey is over. This is the game of life. We don't know where we are. First quarter, halftime, fourth quarter, maybe some of us are living in the two-minute warning. We do not know. Life is short, and it's so uncertain. Here's an episode of The Twilight Zone I saw many years ago where a man is given an opportunity by a stranger to receive a copy of a newspaper 3 days before it's published. So if he got a newspaper on the 14th, it would show the news that would be on the 18th. There's only one catch. If you take this paper, you can't change anything in the paper. He agreed. He's excited. I'm going to make a mint. He gets his first copy. He reads the box scores. He makes his bets. He says, I'm going to win big, live in the lap of luxury for the rest of my life. He gets that copy. He makes his bet. He calls real estate companies, Cadillac dealership. He is ready to roll. Later on, he's a little bit bored, so he decides to read the rest of the newspaper. He turns to the obituary page, and he sees his name. 3 days left to live. As the camera fades, this man is the very picture of despair. Friends, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. And even now, just all these what-if scenarios you're seeing on the media, they're freaking us out. People are like Chicken Little, running around saying the sky is falling. But there is one other problem with this kind of planning, and that's this. Not only the wrong focus and leaving out the fact of life's uncertainties and the brevity of life, but here's the biggest problem. You notice what's missing in these plans? There's a key factor missing in these plans, and it's this. They're leaving God out of the picture. You notice that? Leaving God, they're leaving the most significant piece of the planning puzzle out. These businessmen have failed to even acknowledge God or factor Him into the planning equation. And verse 16 says, as you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. It is, let's call it what it is. It's practical atheism. Perhaps you're thinking, okay, wow, you're being pretty hard on me for only the second sermon streaming online, aren't you? Well, you know, I sympathize. I forget. In my planning, oftentimes, I have amnesia about God. But what does that say? Well, what it says in verse 17 is, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him that is sin. We do not need to take God and quarantine Him to a Sunday box. You know, we sin because sin has the letter I in the middle, and God wants to be at the center of our lives, not on the circumference of our lives. So please, as we plan, and we should plan for the future, don't leave God out of your plans and then turn around and ask God to bless and rubber stamp the plans you've made without even considering Him. Now, we've seen the wrong approach. If you're like me, you're glad this part is over. Now, I want to move to the positive side. I want to end this morning on the positive side of planning. We've seen the bad news, the wrong approach. Now let's look at the good news, how we should plan, even during these uncertain times. Let's consider the right approach in the second place. The second approach we ought to embrace as we plan for the future is this. Notice the contrast, verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. In essence, here's what it's saying. During these times, and actually every day of your life, not just during these difficult times, but every day, God wants us to plan providentially. Let me say it again. God wants us to plan providentially. The right approach is this. If it is the Lord's will, we will do this. You know, the Puritans used to fill their speech and their correspondence with a Latin phrase. Let me give it to you. Deo volente. Deo volente. God willing. Sometimes they would sign their letters, send out announcements. We will have this next week, DV. Deo volente. And this is not a Christian code. It's not Christian cliche. Deo volente is how we acknowledge that God is in control. It's called providence. The biblical belief that God is in control. We need to plan our lives believing, convinced, assured that God is in control. Let's look at some characteristics, just two characteristics of providential planning, planning stamped with Deo volente. Characteristics of the kind of planning we need to be doing right now. The first characteristic is this. Providential planning is flexible planning. You know, if we really believe that God is in control, and we are not, we plan realizing we don't have the power to do anything we plan unless God provides that power. So let's be flexible as we plan for the future. The Bible says we're limited. We don't know exactly what God's will be for us. In this pandemic, we know this. God is up to something much bigger than this. This is part of a bigger story. So what do? We submit our plans to God. Plan, submit them to God. But if God chooses to revise, to correct those plans with the blue pencil of His sovereignty, we accept God's revisions, His corrections. See, God's plans, unlike ours, are final. Our plans, suggestions, submissions, unrevised proof copies of the next chapter of our lives, if you'll embrace God's providence, the planning that you do even now will be flexible planning. Then secondly, providential planning, I love this part, is this. It is confident planning. Notice it says, if the Lord wills, we will do this. By the way, this is a big if. It's an if that makes all the difference in the world. This is not a Johnny Raincloud if of doubt and concern and fear. This is a big if of confidence in and submission to the gracious wisdom of a sovereign God who has promised, remember Romans 8:28, to work out everything for His glory and our good. Beloved, this if in verse 15 is a shower that washes our worry away. Because this if points to God, a God who plans our lives with perfect confidence. You know, if we plan with God and not against God, we rejoice because God is the master planner. Deo volente is for us an attitude of confidence, not primarily in medical science. We thank God for medical science. Right now, our doctors and technicians and lab workers, they are the heroes in this country. We thank God for them, but we don't put our confidence primarily in medicine, nor do we put our confidence in the government. Government is God's provision for us to protect us. And the government right now is doing a really good job of steering us through this time. Those are God's provisions, but our final settled resting confidence is to go to one place, and that is the character of God. The character of God. We write DV, God willing, over our plans, and we place our lives and our futures in the hands of a God who is wise and sovereign, a God who has promised to provide what we need as we sang this morning, day by day and with each passing moment. Friends and brothers, the days and weeks and months and years ahead, God is the planner. We are not God, so as we plan, we write our plans in pencil. We hand God the eraser, knowing that if he has better plans, He'll do those plans. We have confidence because in the future, God's will be done. And let's remember this. God's will for us is His good and perfect will. And how do we know? Here's how we know. Because in the past, it was God's will to save us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die and to be risen again from the grave, not to make salvation possible, but to actually save us from something infinitely worse than COVID-19. God's track record, you can see it in the Bible, is perfect. And because God has been perfectly faithful to us, our future, beloved, our future, as foggy and as dark and as stormy as it seems right now, our future is a bright future. You know why? Because it is as bright as the promises of God that shine in the stars, in the heavens, like the stars. As Christians, because we believe in that God is sovereign, we also believe Proverbs 18:10. Let me read this to you. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord, that is all that God is, all that God does. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It is a shelter during this time. The righteous man runs to it, and listen to this, and is safe. We are safe in this strong tower that is the name of the Lord. So, if we plan providentially for the future, As Christians, I want to encourage you, we of all people, into the darkness of this time in which we live, we should be the primary sunshine pumpers. Let us be realistic, but let us pump the sunshine of God's promises into our families, into our communities, into our workplaces. Let us be people who are not presumptive, but positive about the future, because the future is as bright as the promises of God. Let us pray. Lord, we confess that when money is the bottom line of living, when we forget how uncertain and brief life is, when you are not the heaviest factor in our plans, we sin. Lord, by your grace, for your glory, help us to stamp Deo Volente on all our plans. Let us plan providentially. Let us be flexible yet confident when we plan, because our hope, our confidence is ultimately in you, Lord. Lord, we pray that we will see an end to all this and that we'll be able to say that as we stamped Deo Volente upon our plans, that you were pleased to bless us. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.